Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma daf Yutes. We left off on daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. We're at the Mishnah on daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by my friend Rabbi Daniel Price, in memory of his father, Dr. Clifton Price, Akiva ben Avram, whose yard site is this Shabbos, the 19th of Iyar. It's also sponsored by Jonathan Lewis, Lezeich Nishmas, his father, Elliot Lewis, Elio ben Mordechai. And it's also sponsored by Karen and Mark E. Benson, commemorating the yard site of Mark's grandmother, Irene Kaplan, Shayna Leah, Bas Avram Tzvi, Allah Shalom, whose 30th yahrzeit is today on the 18th day of Iyar. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship of the Neshamos should have an Aliyah. And what we're going to discuss today, the Mishnah is going to talk about how the instructions that they started to give to the Kohen Gadol, and particularly how they were mashbiah him to make sure that he didn't act like a tzeduki, to make sure that he did the avoda correctly, and the reactions to that shavua that each of them had to take, that the Kohen Gadol had and that the other Kohanim had as well. Then the majority of Amud Aleph is going to just work on the layout of the Beis HaMikdash, where the different rooms were in the Beis HaMikdash, because we're describing where the Kohen Gadol went. So we want to know where he's going from, where he's going to throughout the day. So we have to know where everything is in order to describe where the Kohen Gadol went. That's going to lead to a discussion at the bottom of the page, or at least the conversation in the Mishnah leads to a discussion at the bottom of the page whether the Kohen Gadol is a shluchei didan or a shliach derachmana, whether he's a shliach of the other people of Klal Yisrael or of the other Kohanim, and in general are Kohanim shluchei didan or Kohanim shluchei derachmana. The Gemara is then going to tell the story about a tzduki who did the ketores in the tzduki kind of way, and what the result of that was. And then the Gemara is going to have several drashos about the pasuk of a dibarta bam, including one of them to describe how a person is not supposed to even utilize sign language during Kriya Shema to communicate, to wink or to make hand motions, to communicate anything in middle of Kriya Shema. And then if we get to it, the Mishnah at the very end of the daf is going to talk about keeping the Kohen Gadol awake and what they would do in order to make sure that the Kohen Gadol did not fall asleep. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. So says the Mishnah, again, we're going through the preparation of the Kohen Gadol for the Avoda on Yom Kippur, and Masru Ziknei Bezin. So the next step is that the Ziknei Bezin gave him over L'Ziknei Kuhuna, to the Ziknei Kuhuna, in order that they can instruct him for how to do the Chafinas HaKetores. The Chafinas HaKetores, the Gemara is going to say much later on Daf Memzah, that's the Avoda Kasha Shebemikdash. It's one of the hardest things to do in the Beis HaMikdash, so he had to go through a significant training session. That's how Rashi explains over here. The Rambam and the Meiri say that when we say it's Avoda Kasha, it may not be L'chulei Alma. That it may depend on the different shitos of how they do the Chafinas HaKetores, and the Lahalacha, the Rambam Paskins, it's not really Avoda Kasha at all. It's only according to one shita that it's an Avoda Kasha. And that's why the Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippur in Parak Aleph, Halacha Zayin, doesn't quote this idea that it says in our Mishnah that they would teach him the Chafinas HaKetores. He didn't need any special lessons in how to do it if it was in fact not Avodah Kasha Shebemikdash. So anyway, so the Pasuk Pshat of the Mishnah, they gave him Leziknei Kuhuna to teach him this Avodah Kasha. Ve'eliyu l'Aliyas Beis Avtinos, and they brought him up to Aliyas Beis Avtinos, where they would make the Ketores in order to teach him the Chafinas HaKetores, v'yishbi'u. And then the Leziknei Kuhuna made him take a Shavua that he's going to follow everything it says in the Torah about placing the Ketores on top of the Gechalim that are in the shovel inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Tzdukim used to do it outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and only then enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because during Bayisheni, the period of Bayisheni, there was a lot of minus in Klal Yisrael, and the Tzdukim were saying that the Ketores of Yom HaKippurim is supposed to be placed on the fire in the Heichal outside of the Paroch, outside on the other side of the Paroches, and then when it's Mala Ashan, when it starts to bring up smoke, that's when they bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that's how they darshan the pasuk Ki ba'anonei ra'al ha-kaporis, that the Kohen Gadol will come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim already with an none of the Ashana Ketores, of the smoke of the Ketores going up. Now, the reason they had to be Mashbiah him every year, and they couldn't just be Mashbiah him when he was initially appointed as Kohen Gadol, was because they wanted to remind him how serious this was. They wanted to make it, that's what Tiferes Yisrael explains in the commentary in the Mishnayos, they wanted to remind him that this is a very serious matter. The Achronim are bothered by the Kasha. Why did they have to be Mashbiah the Kohen Gadol? They could have just set up a Shomer to watch and make sure that he does it right. Right? If you just have someone watching him, so then you you don't need to be meshbiah him. Just watch and see that he's doing everything that he's supposed to be doing. So in Tosfos Rabbi Akiva Eiger, on the side of the Mishnayos in Ozvav, he says in the name of the Mayim Chayim that to have someone watching would be too late. Meaning that would be good for next year. So you know not to bring this guy back as the Kohen Gadol. But you can't stop him if he already did it. What are you going to do? So you could watch and you could see, Oyvei. But that's all you get, meaning much better to have in advance some sort of system that would prevent him from doing it in the first place. The Rashash suggests that the Rechoshesh, maybe the Shomer is at Stuki, that's how bad it was in the period of Bayesheni, that you could trust nobody. So they had to be Mashmiah the Kohen Gadol, because if you're going to appoint the Shomer, you may have thought that the Shomer was from our side, but it could be that he was a Tzduki. The Tzdukim, of course, were the Talmidim of Tzaduk. The Tzdukim and Baitusim were the Talmidim of Tzaduk and Baitus. Tzaduk and Baitus were the Talmidim of Antigonus Ish Socho, who appears one time in all of Shas, the third Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where Antigonus Ish Socho is the one that tells us that we shouldn't be Kavadim HaMisham Shem Sarav Al Manasa Kabal Pras, rather should be Shalom Al Manasa Kabal Pras. So he had the Avos Rabbi Nassim tells us, he had these two Talmidim, Tzaduk and Baitus, who understood that to mean that there's never going to be reward, that we're never going to get any, that there's no schar, and therefore they sort of organized their whole own way of understanding our religion, and then came out this terrible takala that was a thorn in our sides throughout the tkufa of Bayesheni. The tzdukim were terrible. It was a terrible challenge. You get the impression from the Mishnayos that this was not some minor concern. This was something that was a very significant movement. The Tiferes Yisrael suggests that maybe another reason why we don't just have a shomer there is because there is a halacha. Gemara Pesachim says that you're not supposed to be staring at the inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You're not supposed to be lozon einav. They used to lower it when they needed to be repaired. They would lower people in boxes so they would see as little of the Kodesh HaKadoshim as possible. So you don't want someone looking through a peephole into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You're not supposed to be looking in the Kodesh HaKadoshim too much. So they made him take the Shavuah v'niftaru v'holcholem. And then the Ziknei Beis Din went on their way. So Amrullo, and they were the Shavuah that they gave to that they sent him was as follows. We are Shliach of Beis Din. Beis Din is a representative body that represents all of Klal Yisrael. Beis Din has different functions. Rav Soloveitchik had all the Yahrzeit shir about this, how Beis Din is not only judicial, it's also a representative body. You have such a din that there's such a thing as like a Beis Din L'kiyum HaDavar and a Beis Din L'birur HaDavar. Sometimes Beis Din just has to determine what the law is, what's right, what's wrong, and sometimes the Beis Din represents is a representative body of Klal Yisrael. For example, Ein Mosifin Ali Ir Valazaros, unless you have Beis Din Shel Shivim Ve'Echad. Is that a Psak Halacha? They're paskining whether you're being Mosif on the Ir Valazaros? No, the Sanhedrin Shel Shivim Ve'Echad is representative of all of Klal Yisrael, and that's a Klal Yisrael decision. What are you going to do? You can go to every Jew and interview him and ask him what he wants. Nothing will ever, ever get done that way. It's amazing that anything ever got done with the Beis Din of 71 rabbis. But, I've been on committees with four rabbis, five rabbis, and nothing ever gets done. So that's one of the miracles of Jewish history, I guess, that things got done with 71 rabbis. But that's what Beis Din's function is representative. So they say, we're Shluchei Beis Din. Shluchei Beis Din, we're Shluchim of the people. V'ata Shlucheinu, and you're our Shluch, u'Shluch Beis Din, and you're also Shluch Beis Din. Mashbi'inanu alecha b'misha shichein shmo b'bayis hazeh. We hereby are mashbi'a you by the one who is Shorash Hishchina on this Beis HaMikdash. Shlo teshan adavr mikol ma she'amar that you cannot do anything differently than we instructed you. Who porish ubocha vehein porish ubochin? And everyone went away crying. The Kohen Gadol went away crying. The Ziknei Kehuna went away crying. That they had to have this difficult conversation. Now, if the Kohen Gadol was a chacham, he was a Talmud chacham, and he knew how to teach Torah. So Doresh, he would darshan the whole night, and people would sit there listening. And if he wasn't a Talmud chacham and he didn't know how to darshan, so Talmidei chacham darshim lefanav. They would have Talmidei chachamim saying shir in front of him. If he knew how to read Ksuvim, so then he would read Vim Lav, and if he didn't know how to read Tanakh, he wasn't regularly cross, so Korin Lefanov, they would read in front of him. Uba Me Korin Lefanov, what would they read in front of him? Be Eov, Be Ezra, Be Divrei Yamim, Leibudik topics, things that are entertaining and that would keep him from falling asleep. Zechariah ben Kavutal Omer, Pam Harbi Karisi Lefanov, Be Daniel. Zechariah ben Kavutal said, I used to read a lot of times in front of him, and I read Sefer Daniel. The Rashash points out, from the Lashon of Uba Me Korin Lefanov, it sounds like the Mishnah's question is, what did they read when they read in front of him? of him. But it doesn't say what did he read when he was reading, because we said if he knew how to read, he himself would do the kriya. So it doesn't ask for a topic. And the Rashash says the impression that you get is that it was whatever he wanted, because the whole point was to keep him awake. If a person is interested in a topic, even if it's an esoteric, boring topic to everybody else, but if it was entertaining for him, so that would keep him awake, and that's what he would read. But if they had other people reading to him, they would just try to pick the most entertaining topics in order to keep him awake. So apparently they were doing this throughout the night, reading Tanakh. The Birka Yosef in the Chidah and Siman Aleph writes that al derech ha-emes, that based on Kabbalah, based on Sisrei Torah, a person is not supposed to read Mikra b'layla. I guess the Lag B'Omer is the day to talk about Sisrei Torah. A person is not supposed to do Mikra b'layla. A person is not supposed to read Tanakh at night. Except for Ba'or Hashishi. And that's what he writes in Simreish Lamaches, and he tries to bring a raya from what it says in the Yalkut, that Minayna Yemoshe Yodei Emesai Yom Ve'emesai Laila, when Moshe Rabbeinu was up on Har Sinai 40 days, 40 nights, how did he know when was day, when was night? He was enveloped by the Shechina, so Melamit Shekodesh Baruch Hu Melamud Mikra Yodei Shu Yom, U'Bishar Shemelamud Mishnah Yodei Shu Laila. He knew based on the topic they were discussing. If he was learning Mikra, oh, it must be daytime. If he was learning Mishnah, then it must be night. Time. And the Birka Yosef says, no, we don't. We that's not necessarily right that you're not allowed to learn Mikra Balayla. It's just that Mikra is more appropriate for daytime. But it could be that that just like we learn Mishnah and Gemara Biyom, even though the time that it was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu was Balayla, you can learn Mikra Balayla even though the time it was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu was Biyom. So that's not necessarily a raya. In the Arts of Sachaim in Siman Aleph Sifkal Mamun Vav, the Malbim writes that you should not learn Mikra Balayla, and he brings the Tanah Bei Elio, Yom Li Yom Yabia Omer, that's a reference to Tanakh, and Laila Li Laila Yichavadas, that's a reference to Mishnayis. So he asks Akasha though, what about an Argamara? Kohen Gadol's up all night of Yom HaKippurim, and what's on the agenda? What's he reading? Tanakh. The whole thing is that everything that they read in front of him is Tanakh. He's Kore. Kore means he's reading. It means that it's not Balpeh, that it's that they're learning Tanakh. The Gemara Masech HaShabbos says that the Chazan is the Chazan sees where the tinokos are korei, and the Gemara in the first part of Kiddushin, Leolim Yishalish Adam Shnos of Shlish B'Mikra, that the Gemara says Leomi, that 2 days of the week you should learn only Mikra. So it sounds like day and night you're learning Mikra 2 days a week. So how can we say that Mikra is not something that you're supposed to learn at night? So that's what the Arts of Chaim explains, that based on what it says in the Sefer Nagano Mitzvah, in the name of the Arizal, that on Lel Chamishi, which is early Yom Vav, meaning on Thursday night, you can read Mikra because that's a Chana for Shabbos, and that's where Harachamim is Gabrim, and Kolsh came Belel Shabbos. And therefore, Kal V'chomer by Lel Yom HaKippurim, which is Shabbos Shabboson. So anytime you're within a range of Shabbos, Thursday night, Friday night, then you can learn Mikra. So Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud, no problem. You only need 2 nights where you can learn Mikra. So it's not Sunday and Monday that you're learning Mikra, it's Thursday night, Friday, and Friday night Shabbos that you're learning Mikra. And then, then you won't have a problem in terms of learning Mikra Balayla. Sometimes Talmidim will ask if they're allowed to be Mavri Sedra Balayla, because after all, there is this Hakpada not to learn Mikra Balayla. So my rule with being Mavri Sedra is whenever it works for you, because if you're Machmir Mavri Sedra, then people aren't going to do it. So you got to be made. Any Shaila in Mavri Sedra is Lukula. So to encourage participation. And then if you do it for a while, you'll start taking on extra things when you're being Mavri Sedra time and time again. Okay, so says the Gemara on the top. Tana Lelamdu Chafina, that the reason they would bring him into the Lias Beis Haftinas is to teach him the Chafinas HaKetores, which we'll describe in detail later in the Masechta. Amar Rav Papa, Shtei Lishchos Hayla L'Kohen Gadol. There were two rooms that the Kohen Gadol had. Achas Lishchos Parhedrin. The one is Lishchos Parhedrin, where he stayed for the entire week of his sequestering period. And Achas Lishchos Beis Haftinas. And the other one is the place, the Beis Haftinas, where they taught him the Chafinas HaKetores. Achas B'Savon V'Achas B'Darum. One of these rooms was in the north and the other was in the south. Achas B'Savon D'Tanan. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Midos Sheish Lishachos Hayu Ba'Azara, there were 6 rooms in the Azara, Shalosh Ba'Savim, Shalosh Ba'Darim, 3 in the north, 3 in the south. Shebadarim, the 3 in the south were Lishchas HaMelech, Lishchas HaParva, Lishchas HaMadichin, and Lishchas HaMelech, what was it called? Lishchas HaMelech, for Shoshama Yinos HaMelech LeKarban. That's where they kept the salt to put on the Karbanos. Lishchas HaParva, Shoshama Yimolchin, Oruz HaKachim. That was the Lishcha where they would salt the hides of the Kachim. The Gemara is going to say later on, Ramban, my parva, Amar Yosef, parva amgusha. That parva is the name of a certain mechashev that built this lishcha, and it was called by his name. So a lot of times the lishchas are either described, are either called by a descriptive name of what they're used for, or by the person who built it, by the person who had some sort of influence in that avoda. Shama yimolchin oros kachim. So they would salt the oros kachim there. Va'al gaga ha'isa be'svila, on the roof of the lishchas be'sa parva, there was a mikvah, l'kohen gadol b'yom ha'kippurim, for the kohen gadol to be tovelin in Yom Kippur. Lishchas ha'madichin, sham ha'yumadichin kirvei kachim. That's where they would rinse out the intestines of the kachim. U'misham misiba ola, and there was like a circular staircase that went up, l'gag beis ha'parva, from there to the roof of the beis ha'parva to go to the mikvah. Shalosh ha'betzafon, the three lishachos that were in the north, we just went through the three in the south, the three in the north were, first we list, then we describe, lishchas ha'eitz, lishchas ha'gola, lishchas ha'gazis. So let's describe them. Lishchas ha'eitz, amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, shechachti l'ma ha'isa meshameshes. I don't know what the lishchas ha'eitz was there for. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Bar Tanura points out, was the author of Maseches Midos. So normally you don't need someone to tell you they don't know, just don't say anything and we'll figure you probably don't know, you don't have what to say. But if he's the author of the entirety of Maseches, he's the author of the entirety of Maseches Midos, so he has to say, well, this is where I'm stuck, this is where I don't know, because he was the one that taught us everything else. Abishalom Lishchas Kohen Gadol is Achorishtayan, that behind the Lishchas Hagol and Lishchas Hagazis was the Lishchas Kohen Gadol. The Gag Shlash Tan Shaven, the roof, the ceiling of all of them was even. Lishchas Hagola, it was called Lishchas Hagola, Shamaya Bar Hagola, the bar that the Bnei Hagola dug when they went up to Eretz Yisrael was there. Vagalgal, and the wheel that they would lower the bucket on Nasan Olav was placed over that bar. And Mishama speaking Mayim Lekal Azara, and that's where they got water for the entire Azara. Lishchas Hagazis, Shama Isa Sanhedrin Shal Yisrael Yosheves V'Danas HaKohanim. That's where the Sanhedrin would sit, and they would check the Kohanim to see if they're kosher to do avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. Mishnim Tzuba Psul, and if they found that they were pasul, Hayilov Ishchorim Masativ Shchorim V'Yatzav Alechlo, they dress in black and they'd go on their way out. V'Shalonim Tzuba and if they passed the test to be able to be kosher to do the avoda, hayilovish levanim, satif levanim, they would dress all in white, because that's a sign of simcha. V'nichnas u'mashamish imechav kohanim, and then they would go and work together with the other kohanim. Achas bedarom, one of the lishachas that was in the south, the Tanan, meaning one of these two lishachas that belonged to the kohen gadol that was designated for the kohen gadol was one was in the north, one was in the south. The Tanan, because the Mishnah tells us Shiva Sha'arim Hayiba Azara. There were seven gates in the Azara. Shlosha L'tzafim, Shlosha Bedarim. Three in the north, three in the south. Vecha B'Mizrach, and one in the east. Shabedarim Sha'ar Hadleika. In the south was the Sha'ar Hadleika. That's where they would bring the Eitzim of the Ma'aracha that was then lit on fire on the Mizbeach. Shenilo, the next Sha'ar was Sha'ar Korban. That's where they would bring the Korban Tamid through. Shlishilo, the third Sha'ar after the Sha'ar Hadleika on the Shara Karbon, the Shara Hamayim. That's where they would bring the Mayim for the Nisach Hamayim, which they did once a year, Davka on Chagasukos. Sheba Mizrach, and the gate on the eastern side, the lone gate on the eastern side, was Shar Nikanor. And that's where they would enter the Azara through that eastern gate, Shar Nikanor. Why was it called Shar Nikanor? So that's going to be a story that the Gemara tells us later on, that there was this man, Nikanor, that brought these gates from Alexandria, Sheba Mizraim, and there was a great miracle that happened on bringing these gates. That's the famous story. The more gruesome, less famous story is the one that's quoted by the Yerushalmi, why it's called Shar Nikanor. That when the Yevanim attacked the Chashmonaim, there was one of the Gedolei HaYevanim was Mechari from Megadev, and his name was Nikanor. And when the Chashmonaim were victorious, they cut off his head and his hands and his feet, and they hung them by the Shara Mizrahi. So it was called Shar Nikanor because that's where different parts of Nikanor were hanging. So a more gruesome version of totally different story. But that's what the Yerushalmi says in Maseches Shkalim. Ushel l'shachos ha'yisham, and next to the Shar Nikanor, there were two l'shachos. Achas b'yimino v'achas b'smolo. One on the right side, one on the left side. Achas l'shachos Pinchas HaMalabesh. One was called the l'shach of Pinchas HaMalabesh, where the big day kuhuna were kept, and the one who was in charge of taking care of the wardrobe issues in the Beis HaMikdash. So it was called the l'shachos Pinchas HaMalabesh because the first person ever to hold that office, the Rush explained explains, was named Pinchas. So therefore, I guess he did such a great job. He was like the legendary Malabesh in the Beis HaMikdash. So they always called that place the Lishcha Pinchas and Malabesh. Va'achas Lishcha Sosei Chavitin. And one was called Lishcha Sosei Chavitin, where they would make the Minchas Chavitin, the Kohen Gadol, is Makriv each and every day. Shebet Safon, and the gates that are in the north were Sharnitzots, Binyan Achsadra Haya, which had two walls that were protruding on the two sides of the gate, and they went outside of the wall of the Azara toward Harabais, and on the fourth side toward Harabais, it was open with windows. And there was a second floor built on top of the Achsadra. Visham Kohanim Shomrim Milamaila, and the Kohanim would watch from on top. Ulevim Milamata, and the Levim were Shomer down on the bottom at the Sharanitzos. Upasach Hayelo, this Achsadra had a door in one of the walls, Lechel, that opened up into the Chel, the wall that surrounded the Azara from inside the wall of the Harabais. Shenilo, and then the next Shar after the Sharanitzos was Shar HaKorban. Shlishilo, Shar Beis Hamokhed. That was the Shar Beis Hamokhed. So you see that the Shar HaMayim was in the south. V'tanya, Chamish, Tfilos HaSar Kiddush and Tovel Kohen Gadol, Mekadish Bo B'Yom. That there were five Tfilos and 10 times Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim that the Kohen Gadol had to do throughout the day on Yom HaKippurim. V'kulon B'Kodesh, and all of them were done in the Azara, in a Makom Kadosh. So Al Gabi Beis HaParva, the Beis HaTfilah was Al Gag Beis HaParva, was on the roof of the Beis HaParva, where they had a mikvah. Chutz Mizu, except for this first Tevilah, Shaisa B'Chol, which was in a place that did not have Kedushas HaZara, Al Gabi Shar HaMayim, Ubitzal Lishcha Sohaisa. It was right near his Lishcha on top of the Shar HaMayim. You see from this Braisa that one of the Lishachas of the Kohen Gadol that we mentioned before was in the south, because the Shar HaMayim was in the south. And we said that right next to his Lishcha, one of his Lishchas, was this Shar HaMayim. So you see that that one of his Lishchas was in the south. So bottom line is, Kohen Gadol had two Lishachos, one Betzafon, one Bedarom. The two Lishachos were the Lishchas Parhedrin and the Lishchas Beis Avtina. So the only thing we haven't clarified yet was, which is which? Which one was Betzafon, which one was Bedarom? We know he had two rooms. We know one was Betzafon, one was Bedarom. V'lo yadana, I Lishchas Parhedrin Betzafon, Lishchas Beis Avtina Bedarom, I Lishchas Beis Avtina Betzafon, Lishchas Parhedrin Bedarom. The only thing we haven't yet identified is which one was where. But it makes the most sense that the Lishchas Parhedrin was in the south. My timer, why does that make the most sense? Because if you go about his day and you figure out his schedule, that would involve the least schlep. Maktim Kayi, you'll wake up in the morning in the south, right in this Lishchas that's in the south. Umesach Hasragel, we'll go to the bathroom. V'tavil, we'll go to the mikveh. V'azil, then we'll go around the Azara Litzafon to the second Lishchas, which was in the north, which was Lishchas Beis Avtinas. V'gamar Chafina, he's going to learn about the Chafina Sektores. V'asi, the Beis HaMikdash, then he'll go to the Azara itself. V'avad Avoda, Kulei Yom, and he'll do the Avoda the whole day. And L'bahadei Panya, when it comes time for evening, Madualei, they would sprinkle on him the Efer Parah Aduma. V'hadar Azil L'Dorim, then he'd go back to the south. V'tavali, and he'd go to the Mikvah, which is right next to his Lishcha in the south, because someone who had the Azaz Parah Aduma, Efer Parah Aduma, would need to have a Tevila as well. That we learned back in Daf Yudalit, that's Shitas Rabbi Akiva, that the person who had Efer Parah Aduma sprinkled on him, Rabbi Akiva held, becomes Tameh, so he's going to need Harav Shemesh, he's going to need a Tevila and Harav Shemesh. Chum hold that he doesn't become Tameh at all, and he doesn't require this, but we're assuming within Shitas Rabbi Akiva. V'nayach, and then he went to sleep. Di am Lishchas Parhedrin Batzafon, because if you're going to tell me Lishchas Parhedrin was far away from the base of Tevila, that was in the Chol, that was in the south, but the Lishchas Parhedrin was in the north, and Lishchas Beis Avtinas was in the south, it would turn out that his day looked very different. Then Maktim Kayi, he'd wake up in the morning, Mesach Ragov, he'd go to the bathroom, Va'azil Le'Durum, then he'd have to go right away, all the way around the Azara to the south, on Shar HaMayim, V'tavil, and he'd have to Tovel there, and then he'd go into the Lishchas Beis Avtinas, that was also in the south, V'gamer Chafina, he'd learn the Chafina, Va'asil Le'Beis HaMikdash, he'd go into the Azara, V'avra Avodu Kaliyoma, and he would do the Avoda all day, La'ade Panya, and then in the evening, Madwale, they would sprinkle the Efer Parah Aduma on him, V'hadarazil Le'Durum, and then he'd have to go back to the south by the Shar HaMayim, V'tavil, and go to the Mikvah, Ubay Madur Mezel, and then he had to go back, L'Tzafon U'Meinach, back to the Lishchas Parhedrin, which is in the north, in order to go to sleep. So, Mi Tarch Matruchina Le'Kulei Hai, why would we do that? Why would we drive him crazy, schlep him back and forth and back and forth? It doesn't make any sense to do that to him. So that's how we know what was where. That's why we said that it's more Mistaver, that it's... that even that it's more mistaver that the lishchas parhedrin was bedarom and the other lishcha was betzafon. So says Gemara, lama lo? Well, why is it such a big deal? Matrichin leitvei. We should try to dafka be matriachim. And you know why we should be matriachim? Meaning our whole raya was why would we drive him crazy? Why would we matriachim to schlep back and forth? No, we dafka want to make him crazy. The itzduke who live rosh because we want to make the inconvenience of being the kohen gadol. We want to maximize the inconvenience so that if you're not really committed, you're not going to want to do it. So if you're at Stuki, you're going to say, it's not worth it. I'm going to have to schlep around all day like that for 7 days. So that would be a way of discouraging Stukim from taking the job. Inami, or it could be that even if he's an Adam Kasher, Shalot Tazuach Daito Olav, he shouldn't feel like he owns the place. He shouldn't feel like a sense of gaiva. So the fact that we schlep him around is a humbling experience to be schlepped around back and forth, even if he's not at Stuki. Otherwise, they could have just made the two lashachas right next to each other. Anyone who have to schlep back and forth at all from one to the other, or just make one lishcha. Why does he have to learn the chafina and sleep in different rooms? Let him learn the chafina sakatoras in the same room that he goes to sleep. So the very fact that we make even two rooms and that we put them at opposite ends of the Beis HaMikdash tells me that we're not so concerned about driving him crazy and about schlepping him all around back and forth. Now in the Sefer Siach Yitzchak, he says, what does that mean? That they should make one room? The lishchas parhedrin had to be bechol, because he had to go to sleep in the lishchas parhedrin. He had to lie down and go to sleep in the lishchas parhedrin. The lishchas beis haftinas had to be bekodesh, because that's where they did. That's where they made the ketores, and that has to be done bekodesh. So how could there even be a hava mina that there could be one room? One of them had to be chol, the other one had to be kodesh. So he suggests, the Siach Yitzchak suggests, that really the ikra lishcha was in the place where they did the ketores was pasuach to the kodesh, but the place where he learned the seder chafina was a separate place within the lishcha that was pesuach to the kodesh, and that was pesuach l'chol. So within this room, there was a doorway to the kodesh. That's where they prepared the ketores. Learning the chafinas ketores was pesuach l'chol, and that was an area of the room that therefore had the status of chol. And that's how the Gemara could have had a hava mina that it's the same room. Fine. So now the Mishnah goes on. Amar lo ish kohen gadol. The Mishnah told us that they give him this speech. They say ish kohen gadol, we're shluchei beis din, and you're our shliachim. We're making you swear that you're not going to change anything. So they matavi tiyuf. This seems to be a tiyufta on Rafun Brej Rav Shua. Rafun Brej Rav Shua, Hani Kahani Shluchei Derachmanan Inhu. That the Kohanim are not our Shluchim at all. They're Shluchei Derachmana. Diyam Shluchei Didan Inhu. If you're going to say that the Kohanim are our Shluchim, Mika Mididan, Nam Lamatzi Lamevet V'Shluchei Didan Matzavavdi. Is there such a thing that I can't do something, but my Shliach is able to do something? I mean, you can't make a Shliach for something that the Meshaleach is not able to do. So since the Yisraelim are not able to be makriv karbanos, the Kohanim that are makriv the karbanos cannot be the shluchim of the Yisraelim. They must be the shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if that's the case, when the Mishnah says that the Zekanim would say to the Kohen Gadol, Ata Shlucheinu, it sounds like he's their Shliach. That's against Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, who says that the Kohanim, including the Kohen Gadol, are only Shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says Gemara, you're right. Ahachi Karmilei, Mashmin Anu Alecha Al Da'ateinu Val Das Beis Din. Even if we're not changing the gears, we're saying what it means is not that you are literally our Shliach, but where the Shavua is taken on our Das and on Das Beis Din. But it's not really about Shlichus. Rishonim point out the problem that the Gemara in Nedarim Daflamid Hay has a suffix about this din, whether Kohanim or Shluchei Didan or Shluchei Kodesh Baruch Hu, whether the Shluchim of the Bala Karban or the Shluchim of Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it brings rayas from many places, and it rejects all the rayas, but it doesn't bring a raya from Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, right? It's not poshet the suffix from Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, like we just said, that they must be Shluchei Drachman Kos Kalmel Sadiyu Matsiliyavit Shluchim. That if I'm unable to do something, I can't have a shaliach do it for me. So Tosus in Dibra Maschalmi, in the top Tosus over here, suggests that the Gemara doesn't want to be poshet the suffix from Amoraim. The Gemara was looking to be poshet the suffix from Tanaim. Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua was an Amora, so he had a very good point, but that's not what the Gemara was looking for. Furthermore, Tosus says it was poshet to the Gemara that the Kohanim are also Shluchei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and because Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua's svar is very correct, that it can't be that that a shliach is able to do something that the mishaleach is unable to do. The Gemara's suffix is, are they only shluchei Hashem, or are they also somewhat the shluchei bala karban? Nafkamina is, the Gemara says over there, if you're mudar hana'a from a particular kohen, so can he be the one that brings your karban? If he's a shliach to Rachman, it's got nothing to do with you, so then he can bring your karban. But if he's also shluchei didan, not entirely shluchei didan, he can't be, because Rav Huna ben Yehoshua said, if I can't do it, I can't make a shliach do it. But if he's also shluchei didan, so then it would be a problem to have a kohen who you mudar hana'a from to bring the karban. There's a fascinating tshuva in the Chalkas Yaakov in Yardea, Simon Kufnun Beis, talks about someone who Rachman al son had his arms cut off, whether he's mechuyev in the midst of ksiva sefer Torah. Meaning, do you say such a svar? There's no way he'd be able to write a sefer Torah. So shliach lamatzi mashri, you can't point a shliach. The Minchas Chinuch writes a mitzvah taryag in the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah within the Shitas Rambam that's why nashim are pater from the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah, because they themselves are pasul to write a sefer Torah. So kamos l'diyum lamatzi avid, if they can't do it, so even though the women are able to make shluchim for all sorts of things, right? That's the Isha Miskadeshes, Ba'u Bishlucha, a woman can make a shliach for all sorts of things, for Kiddushin, for Gittin, for everything, but nevertheless, not for something that she herself is unable to do. So the Akronim will point out that the two cases are not at all comparable. Meaning, one thing, a woman is not halachically empowered to write a Sefer Torah. That's very different. Or Yisrael is not halachically empowered to do the Avodah. But if you have someone who, as a person, their status is that they are able to do this mitzvah, it's just that they have a physical something that's holding them back from practically being able to do it, but not from their halachic status, so that's not going to be a problem of kol milsa di lamatsyavid shelach lamatsyamashri. Furthermore, the Mishabur writes in Simon Lamed Beis that if someone were to write a Sefer Torah bipeh or biraglo, that it has the din of kosiv bismol, which b'diavid is kosher. That if a person writes a Sefer Torah, if a righty decides he's looking for a challenge in his life, so he writes a Sefer Torah with his left hand, so you're not supposed to do that, but b'diavid it would be kosher. So if a person writes with his feet, that would also be kosher. If he writes with holding the quill in his mouth, that would also be kosher. So you can't say that it's Iulo Matsyavid, that he is able to do it. It would just be a very great challenge, but he is able to technically do it. Okay, the Mishnah then went to say, Hu parish ubochavein parish ubochin, that everyone went away from this experience crying. The Kohen Gadol was crying, the Ziknei Kuna were crying, so Hu parish ubocha shechashdu tzduki. He was parish ubocha because they were choshim to be a tzduki. Vein parish ubochin dom Rabbi Shobel Levi, kala choshim k'sherim loka begufo, and they were parish ubocha because anyone who's choshim b'ksherim is loka begufo, and they have to be concerned that they were just choshim b'ksherim, that they had to be choshim b'ksherim by being mashbiah him. Now the Sfasemis points out, the Gemara in Shabbos Tav Kuf Yud Ches tells us that Rabbi Yossi once commented, yehechelki imi shechoshin oso ve'inbo, that I want to be among those people that they're choshim him and that it's not true about him, because he's going to get so much schar for all of the bad stuff that people think about him and that people say about him when it's all not true. Yichelki, which is interesting because normally we have a mitzvah yisim nikiyim me'ashem yisol. We learned in the Mishnah Masech Hashkalim that you're supposed to be above, beyond reproach, that no one should think anything bad about you. But that was Rabbi Yossi's comment that he wants yichelki. So why would the Kohen Gadol cry about that if he just achieved what Rabbi Yossi always wanted, that they should be choshed ve'inbo? So why would he go away crying? So as Fasema said, he was crying because of how many tzdukim there are, that they had to be choshed, everyone who's appointed Kohen Gadol, that he might be a tzduki. That tells you that there are a lot of tzdukim out there. And that was a sad state of Klal Yisrael. V'kol kach lama, why did they have to be mashbiah him and assume that he's going to do the avodah incorrectly? So shelo yisakim mibachutz v'yachnis kederek shatzdukin osim, because it was dafka by the Ketores that the tzdukim had their shtick, that they would be misakim mibachutz, and then they would bring it into the kodesh hakodashim already burning, as opposed to what you're supposed to do, which is burn the Ketores while already in the kodesh hakodashim. Now the achronim raise the following kasha. You know, the tzdukim were very frum about what they believed in. They were not just hefker. In fact, they had a lot of chumras that we don't keep, and that we wouldn't call them chumras. We'd call them shtus. They're wrong, but they were very strict about what they believed in. So the Achronim raised the question: what's it going to help to be mashpia the tzduki? According to the tzdukim, it's a chiyuv min haTorah to dafka put the ketores on mibachutz. So a shvua to be mevatel the mitzvah is not a shvua. So according to them, you're being mashpia them to be mevatel the mitzvah. So it's irrelevant. You you hear that Shvuah to be vatal mitzvah doesn't count as a Shvuah anyway. So it tells Shabbat Kivegra on the side of the Mishnah is, he quotes a Pri Chadash that since the Tzdukim knew that the Mashpia, every Kohen Gadol, they did treat it very seriously, and they would not have put themselves in a situation to take the Shavua. I mean, the fact that they knew in advance that this was going to be a Shavua that had to be taken, even though they think the Shavua is an invalid Shavua, it's still a scary thing to go through the whole process of a Shavua. So the hope was that this would deter people who were Tzdukim from wanting to become Kohen Gadol to even go through the process of the Shavua, even though in their minds the right thing to do is to lie. The right thing to do is to take that Shavua and then go be Maktir Mibuchotz anyway. And it's Faris Yisrael on the side of the Mishnah, he says that the Shavua is Chal B'Kolel, that if you're Kolel together with the Shavua, a lot of other things, so the Shavua is Chal at everything, even if one of those things is to be Mevatel Mitzvah. So they were Mashpia not to be Mishana Mikol Masha Amrlo, from everything that they told him. One of those things is the Ketores, and therefore the Shavua is Chal on everything. Maritz Chayus has a third approach. He says that the Sukkim were not Doresh, the drasha from which we learn that Shavua is not chal to be mevatel as a mitzvah. According to the Tzduki way of learning, a Shavua is chal to be mevatel as a mitzvah, and therefore l'shitasam this Shavua was going to be a binding Shavua. So Tanu Rabban, the Braisa tells Maisa b'Tzduki Echad. There was a story of one Tzduki. He prepared the Ketores outside and burnt it and put it on the fire outside, and then he went into Lefnai V'Lefnim like the Tzdukim do. He was really proud of himself on his way out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And he ran into his father, who was also Tzduki. We're concerned about the Prushim, so we don't actually do this L'maisa. I mean, it's something that we teach, but it's not something that we actually do. So So the son said, I always wondered about this pasuk, that the Tzdukim Darshan, our shita of going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Ketores already burning. And Amarti, and I said to myself, when will I ever have the opportunity to fulfill this pasuk? Right? It's the Havdil, it's like the Mises Rabbi Akiva. They always wondered, but that's heroic, right? Right? People are willing to be Moser Nefesh for something. Just make sure the thing you're willing to be Moser Nefesh for is B'chol Nefeshecha and not Masel Yadi Kaimenu to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash incorrectly. Achshav Shabbal Yadi Lo Kaimenu. Now I had the chance, I'm not going to do it. Amar Lo Yoyom Matzimat Shemes V'utal Ba'ashba. He died and his body was just discarded. V'yitaloh and Yotzin Mechotimo, and the worms were coming out of his nose. They say, the Acharim say the nose, because that's the first part that enters into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It juts out in front of the rest of the body. And some say b'yitziyaso nigaf, that he was struck and died on his way out. That there was a sound that came from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shabam malach v'chavato al parav. A malach came and whacked him on the face. V'nichlus v'chav ha-kohanim umatzu b'kaf regal egel ben k'sefav. And the kohanim came in and they found a footprint of an egel between his shoulders, because a malach has a footprint of an egel. Shenema v'raglayim regel yeshara v'kaf raglayim b'kaf regel egel. So he was killed by a malach. The Talmud Yerushalmi raises the question that the pasuk says v'kol adam lo yeh ba'ol moed b'vol l'chaper b'kodesh hatzeiso, and kol adam includes malachim as well. That malachim are p'neim kipnei adam, they're also not allowed in there. So Yerushalmi raises the question, how is the malach allowed in there? So Yerushalmi has some sort of very cryptic answer. B'shashu nichnas kidarko. What does that mean? So major machlokas rishonim. Tos Yerushalmi says that the Ketores was not done properly, and therefore you're allowed to go in. You're only not allowed to go when he's doing the Ketores properly. The Tosfi Alavin says, and the Karban Eidah say, it doesn't say when he's not doing the Avodah Kitikuna, only when he's doing the Avodah Kitikuna. And the Pnei Moshe suggests that was when he wanted to be Motzi, the Kaf and the Machta, and at that moment the Pasuk is not speaking about when he's taking out the Kaf and the Machta. But bottom line, the Malach was allowed in, and the Malach killed him. Amar Rabbi Zechariah ben Kavutal. So Rabbi Zechariah ben Kavutal said, I used to read Sefer Daniel to him. So Masni Le Rav Chana Bar Rav Elchia Bar Rav Kamei Rav. Amar Rabbi Zechariah ben Kavutal, with a pay, Machli Le Rav Biyade Kavutal. And Rav made a hand motion, a hand gesture, to say, no, it's Kavutal. V'neimelei Meimar, just tell him it's Kavutal. You have to make a hand gesture. No, Kriyashma Avakari was in the middle of saying Kriyashma, so he couldn't communicate. Chia Gavna Mishari, are you allowed to even do nonverbal communication in the middle of Kriyashma? V'am Rav Yisrael Shmuel, V'am Rata, Kriyashma, lo yirmos bein of lo yikrots besfosov, lo yor betzvosov. You're not allowed to make even gestures. V'tani Rav Blazer Chasma Omer, HaKriyashma, M'ram Yisbein of Makari Tzvosov, M'ar Betzvo, Olav HaKosov Omer, V'lov HaSi Karasi Yaakov. So how is he allowed to make these gestures? Lo kasha perek rishon perek sheni. Depends whether he's in the first chapter or second chapter of Shema. Tan rabban v'dibar to bam v'lo betfila. That you should be audible when you say Kriya Shema, but you should not be audible in your tefila. V'dibar to bam yeshchom rishos adaber v'lo bedvar macherim. You're not supposed to speak kalas rosh and other things of Rabbi Yacha Omer v'dibar to bam aseo son keva v'al tasei marai. Your divrei Torah should always be your primary conversation and it shouldn't be arai. Amar Rav Hasach sichas chulin. Over Basev. Someone speaks Sichas Chulin is in violation of an Asay. Shnamar v'dibar to bam v'lo b'dvar macherim. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar over Balav, that it's not only an Asay, it's a Lav. Shnamar kol advarim yigeim lo yuchal ish l'daber. You don't have the right to speak Sichas Chulin, to speak Dvarim b'telim. Okay, but Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Tes Amud Beis. Have a good day. Good Shabbos, everybody.
Thank you, Rabbi.